Well, hello and welcome back. We're on for another episode of the StoneX Australian Cattle and Beef Market Report. My name is Ripley Atkinson. I'm the Australian Livestock and Commodities Manager for StoneX based in Sydney, where we're developing price risk management tools for the Australian beef industry to help the sector manage market and price volatility with our Australian feeder cattle swap. We're brought to you by StoneX Group, a NASDAQ-listed global financial services network with 100 years of experience in global commodity markets. Remember that the trading of derivatives, such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and you should fully understand the risks prior to trading. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. Well, today we're going to jump back into markets. There's been a few things happening at the minute, particularly probably what I would call it at a regionalised level and at a categorical level on stock types. I think the second thing I wouldn't mind working through is the question now that is looking increasingly likely to be asked on the back of sort of a less than ideal month for much of Southern Australia is that, you know, what does a, you know, the retreat or the chance or reduction in chance of a Southern herd rebuild look like? You know, the South hasn't had decent, genuine, continuous follow-up rain. And it hasn't been enough to what I would say deliver sort of widespread recovery from drought. We'll get into that. And then finally, which is somewhat linked to the second point, and also importantly, the first of markets at the minute, but, you know, the flows of cattle and what's happening currently. But to begin with markets, I think there's probably a few things at a top line level, which I'm sort of, or these are my views anyway. You look at where prices are, particularly in the yards, look like they've peaked a fortnight ago. But I think when you dig into the data a little, what you will see is a bit of disparity at a regional level. We're going to get into that a bit more, but you know, the sort of the reckoning of the South and the realization I think some producers are sort of waking up to because of this, you know, subpar September, which hasn't delivered decent follow-up, you know, is causing a sort of dislocation in restocker prices between, you know, let's say Northern and Southern Australia. Again, I'll draw the line at Dubbo. I think that's been a really interesting dynamic to watch. But importantly, on a more demand level, if that's what we'd like to call it, you know, you look at Victorian kill rates based on the NLRS data, the weekly figures are back 10% off their highs set in late July. Now, is this decline in kill out of Victoria becoming embedded in that, you know, processing throughput of cattle, you know, as cost pressures and cattle buy prices force those Victorian processors to, you know, slow down their kill chains to simply maintain workforce and do their best to obviously shield themselves from, you know, the pressure that the rally in the livestock prices is placing on their businesses. They're the three things for me, looking likely that the market in this cycle peaked a fortnight ago, the disparity on restocker prices at a regional level, and that, you know, that slide, continuous slide in the kill out of Victoria. Jumping into the restockers though, locally, you know, I've spoken a bit already about this disparity and I think it's really interesting. You know, you're starting to see, and this is at a sale yards level, but you're starting to, you know, really see those markets continue to improve. Generally, it's a steady improvement, but they are improving. And, you know, it's something we've sort of looked at for quite some time. Spring is now well and truly, you know, starting to fire up and really hum along in central and northern New South Wales. And that support of what, you know, spring and grass production is delivering is encouraging those northern producers to, you know, to compete and chase cattle. It's probably been happening in the last week to 10 days, but the difference is, you know, is stark. These southern markets, you're starting to see that restocker demand and subsequently prices soften and that confidence retreat And I think the important thing here is the fact that confidence is king. You know, the producers in the northern markets are really comfortable. And it's evident, you know, when you watch price performance in the southern markets that are going the opposite way, the realization of a potential, I'm not going to call it failed spring, but a spring that doesn't deliver a recovery from drought is really forcing those producers to reconsider paying the high rates they are in southern markets. But on the flip side of that, what I think this will do is if we do see, you know, larger numbers of sort of store type cattle and particularly weaners, you know, sort of what, November onward through to about February, come out of the southern weaner sales, I think that's really going to encourage the northern buyers again to step into these southern markets and chase store type cattle again this year, particularly if the producer has the confidence, you know, to do a summer trade and they've got the grass available and they're confident in themselves to do one. We've seen a lot of trades this year perform exceptionally well. And I think that situation, is something to be cognizant of. And I'll mention it, you know, a little later, but keep an eye on how those southern prices perform moving forwards, because I think you might start to see those northern buyers look to those markets to source cattle, particularly if there is a strong dislocation in price, i.e. the south is a lot cheaper than the north. In the feeders, markets generally for probably the last 2 to 3 weeks have been pretty firm. There hasn't been significant change. But what I would say is the rally more broadly has stalled in the sense that prices have remained pretty much flat for the past fortnight. We haven't seen significant movements either way. But what we do know is feedlots are getting presented with plenty of cattle that are starting to move off oats crops. And that, you know, we probably knew was coming. It's just taken a bit of time, particularly places out of the tablelands in the New England Northwest, which have had a wet winter. You know, the influence of that, you know, is playing a role on probably delaying the delivery of some cattle because of that. But now that spring's really starting to kick into gear and grass production and weight gain in cattle is improving, you know, the feedlots, through conversations I'm having, definitely telling me the availability of cattle and the availability or supply pressure that they did have, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks ago is easing substantially. The South generally continues to be a real driver in this feeder job. Their influence in the northern market remains, and I can't really see that changing for the next 6 months, particularly on, you know, those HGP free cattle. The southern buyers and feedlots are offering really solid money on those stock to secure them, because there's obviously not enough in their local markets, which most of their cattle usually are. So, you know, are offering strong rates in those northern, northern markets and northern regions at the minute to secure supply, particularly if they're targeting, you know, a specific market or product line, you know, looking to China on the HGP free job is obviously the best example, but it does show, you know, the influence of the South generally in the North and even more so specific on that HGP free cattle or feeder weight cattle is very solid at the minute. In the slaughter space currently, looking again a little bit like the broader system, cows had a really strong rally. For what it's worth, they broke the 2022 price record last week. But when you look at how markets are performing currently, particularly in the yards, they've just softened a little bit. Really, that began last Thursday at Dubbo, just started to ease a touch. I think we will see, you know, particularly in central and northern New South Wales into Queensland, once calving's over, you know, you're going to start to see larger numbers of cows come forward, you know, November, December into next year. And I think that's probably something to be aware of as well as a consideration. But those cows have just sort of eased off a bit this week. I'd still, you know, like to think that they've remained relatively firm because prices are still in the 99th percentile on record, but they have just come back a touch after, you know, after that sharp rally following the 5th of August, 6th of August, whatever the date was when the announcement came from the US around the Brazilian tariff situation. I think more broadly, though, on slaughter stock, you know, your supermarket cattle, grass feds and cows are going to remain very well supported as long as the South remains dry and a restock. And what I mean by that is, you know, sort of trade cattle pull back into the southern markets to trade and turn out in southern systems or southern regions remains sort of elusive. I think the demand from buyers generally, particularly the southerners, of course, is going to really support that demand for any stock in the south that have weight and condition to kill. And, you know, subsequently as a part of that, because that isn't looking likely, I think the buying demand from the southerners is effectively a here to stay for the foreseeable future in northern markets. You know, I think it's going to be what we're going to see for the next 6 months. I don't necessarily, to me, it doesn't look like the southern buyers are going to walk away from northern markets, mainly because of the lack of available stock, you know, particularly with weight and condition available to them in their regions. Talking with the meat trade and the meat or the beef export end of the market this week, been some really interesting discussions. The consumers and the customers that beef across the country is being, Australia's exporting across the world, you know, there is some serious pressures coming on them. Their capacity to pay up continuously for the product is being stretched. You know, and I think it is something that we need to be cognizant of, despite the fact the livestock price has risen 30 to 50% in the past 3 to 4 months, you know, necessarily in some markets, and it's not all, the lift has, you know, affected some of those consumers in market and customers. And that's, we do need to be cognizant of that. I think it is something to be aware of, and it's feedback I've gotten a fair bit quite regularly recently. Moving past what's happening at the minute, looking to the question of what a southern herd rebuild or the potential that doesn't eventuate and what that actually means, I think is a really interesting discussion point. You know, it's less than a month ago that the South was looking generally what I would say pretty good. The rain was continuing to fall, you know, quite a widespread nature on a weekly basis. It was seemingly setting that region up pretty well to begin its recovery from drought and, you know, give the producer enough confidence through grass production and growth and obviously, importantly, water availability to kick that rebuild off. But here we are, you know, a month later, and that potential or opportunity looks to be slipping away very quickly. I think from my perspective, it's looking increasingly unlikely that we see a rebuild out of southern Australia this spring. You know, the lack of continuous follow-up rain, which I think probably the biggest feedback piece I'm getting from southern producers is that water issue. You know, they haven't had enough follow-up rain to fill the profile, which in turn allows runoff, which will then fill, you know, the water table, of course, and dams. That hasn't happened. And I think that is probably a big concern for some of them because of that. And, you know, to me, it all ties into producer confidence. And as I mentioned at the start of this episode, you know, you can see already the restocker confidence starting to slide in the southern markets. And, you know, when we now turn to what the potential outcomes are of no rebuild occurring in the south this spring, I would start with the caveat that it was a month ago that it looked good and now it doesn't look so good. So in a month's time, we could be, you know, just as likely saying they'll be fine. So things obviously do swing in roundabouts, but, you know, looking at it at the minute, under the assumption that a spring rebuild doesn't occur, I think there's probably a couple of things to consider. The first one is that the opportunity for buying from other areas that aren't as pressured. Now, you know, we know those that's basically regions north of Dubbo. This situation is going to give them another good opportunity through the end of this year into the winter sales, you know, to access cattle for another trade in 2026 if their season stays with them and trade, you know, into next year. And I think that, again, that competition from northern buyers in those southern markets to finish this year and, you know, kickoff next year will be really important to price outcome, particularly if this spring just doesn't deliver for the South. The demand there from those producers isn't going to be there. And that lack of competition will leave the Northerners effectively to their own devices, but it'll be important if the season remains with the North, that they're there in those markets accessing cattle. I think when you look, you know, past the sort of restocker store markets, looking at feeder and slaughter weights, the big thing there is weight and condition. So ultimately, any cattle now, you know, if a recovery can't occur in the South, you know, in terms of pasture availability, will mean any of those cattle with weight and condition are going to be very well supported, and they're going to be, you know, in very high demand. And, you know, the lack of supply of those type of stock or slaughter stock and feeder weights generally in the South, I think will just mean the Southern buyers remain in Northern markets. They don't leave. They don't come home for a period before going back up, you know, at their usual time mid, you know, in the middle of each year. They just stay there and remain in those Northern markets buying cattle. It's probably the first time it's happened ever, if not in a very long time. And, you know, I think that added competition from the South in the feedlot and slaughter or processor space is going to be generally pretty supportive of prices, you know, for those Northern slaughter and feeder cattle through summer, because the Southerners are there competing, you know, every day on stock to secure numbers and send home. Another one that I am interested in monitoring is the spreads between feeder heifers and steers. You know, I think with some values getting quite steep, generally watch the feeders step out of steers and back into heifers, you know, just to try and buy cattle at a cheaper rate if they're going to achieve them the same outcome and meet the market spec they need to send product overseas. I think that will be an interesting one to monitor. Stuff like, you know, feeding cattle for 120 days for an HGP-free program into China, heifers could provide that solution, you know, admitting that they meet the requirements of the market. But little dynamics like that, I think, will be an important sort of one to watch. And, you know, as a result of potentially a couple of feedlots doing the same thing at once, you could see those spreads narrow between feeder steers and feeder heifers. I suppose, you know, overall, when we think about that Southern rebuild, confidence will be really important for the Southern producer, and subsequently what that kind of confidence means for market participation, which ultimately will determine price outcomes for those weaners. I think it is something to consider. The breeding females, you know, that look like a really positive opportunity, but if the South doesn't have the confidence to step into those stock types, that's something to be wary of. But conversely, you know, cash flow obviously is a big issue. So if and when the season does, you know, improve substantially, do you see more trading rather than backgrounding just for some cash flow purposes? Sorry, some more trading and backgrounding rather than breeding just for cash flow purposes to get back on the producer's feet. That is, you know, something that we saw during the tail end of the 2019 or the end of the 17 to 19 drought in 2020. A lot of people jumped in and got through some trays just to get going again. That is probably something to be cognizant of, but I think it'll be an important situation to monitor. I suppose as a part of all this in the current situation, more broadly talking markets, you know, the caveat I think is to monitor how long processors and feedlots are willing to cop losses on cattle. You know, if they are dealing with losses, and I'm not suggesting all of them are, but I know some of them are, you know, I think that willingness to deal with losing money and how long that lasts will be a big determinant of, you know, price outcome. I think it's going to work itself out. The market always works itself out. And what that looks like, I don't necessarily know, because there's a number of, you know, alternatives that could push it one way or the other, but it is something to be aware of. I think the last one, I've probably spoken on, you know, Northern interest a little bit, but what we're probably looking at likely to see in the next, you know, what I think will happen, what I think we will see in the next 6 months is store cattle heading north and slaughter cattle heading south at the same time. Not necessarily a common occurrence. It's probably not something that we've seen happen very often in recent memory, if at all, whereby, you know, the drought in the south is forcing those cattle further north to the extent anyway. We probably haven't seen it to this level. You know, the drought in the south forcing those cattle out, and weaners particularly, and then you're seeing all those northern cattle come south to be processed. It is a broader conversation, and something we probably need to be aware of as a market is I don't think we're going to run out of cattle in Queensland for another 2 years at a minimum, assuming average conditions because of the strength of the season this year. And, you know, we're realistically only going to realise supply of those stock, particularly the feeders, for example, in 2027 for those cattle that are born in 2025. But we do need to be wary of, you know, the basically there's one region of Australia that's supplying the other and its own region at the same time, i.e. northern New South Wales, Queensland, supplying northern New South Wales and Queensland plus Victoria at the same time. The longer term repercussions, if that continues, you know, for another 12 months is probably something to be cognizant of. And the flows and movement of cattle, you know, like I started this off with, I think is probably something to be considerate of. The other one, you know, is that northern demand. If the season can stay with the northern producers again leading into summer, setting them up well, I think a lot of them have had pretty strong trades in 2025. That support of theirs in southern markets through these weaner sales will be critical. And, you know, I think if they can get the buy price right and can buy cattle at a rate that they're comfortable with, we're going to see, you know, again, in the 25-26 weaner sales, the vast majority of those cattle head across the New South Wales-Victorian border and, you know, and go out and do another background trade in 2026. I think it'll be a really interesting one to watch. But overall, really, those store cattle moving north and slaughter cattle moving south is, to me, here to stay for the next 6 months. Will be, you know, probably what could be considered a pretty unique situation. That's all we've got for this week. You know, there's been a fair few moving parts at the minute, and it's a really interesting sort of market situation. I'm pretty curious to see how the last, you know, 3 months of this year plays out. But, you know, if today's episode or any others have raised a question, reach out to me, send me an email to ripley.atkinson@stonex.com, or record a voice memo of yourself on your phone, where you're from and the question, and I'll get to answering it in the next episode. Feel free to share this with your mates. Always good to or for people to stay informed and remain, you know, receiving different opinions and perspectives from people. So feel free to share it with others, or alternatively review it on the platform you listen to. Otherwise, thank you for listening. Take care, all the best, and we'll see you next time. Cheers.